Sometimes Neil Gill for breakfast doesn't all fit in between 6 and 9 each morning.
So this is where we put the extra bits. All the bits you may have missed. Neil Gill for breakfast.
The podcast. Anytime you want on Listener.
Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Triple M Central West Breakfast Podcast. And coming up on the show this week, we're going to be talking Western League Tag Challenge with Andrew Poole, the president of the Woodbridge Cup, another big event set down. And also, Russell Tim from MoneyLink Financial Planning will join us. We'll be having a look at the year ahead in terms of finances and how it's looking to shape up. And also, and firstly, let's catch up with Anthony Bonici. Of course, his business is brainblinkers.com. And this morning, he joins us online to talk about flinching. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Gilly. How are you doing?
Going very, very well. Thank you, mate. We're going to talk about flinching. It's something that you, well, I think you have very little control over. If someone's, about to give you a whack or something, or going to throw something at you or balk at you, you're going to automatically flinch to protect yourself.
That's exactly right. It's a human instinct, because the human body wants to make sure that it doesn't stop working.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that we do that is if there's potentially physical harm or any type of harm, actually, but physically, like if someone, like you said, scares you or you flinch, and that flinch is to keep you safe and to keep you comfortable and to keep you from being damaged. And so it's a normal reaction. And there's a book by Julian Smith called Flinch, and it's got one of the best photos of a guy screwing up his face just before something's going to hit him. We don't know what it is. And it's an awesome book cover. But the content of the book is even more awesome, because it says, listen, as humans, it's a good idea to practice not flinching to get uncomfortable. And this, it's another sort of, take on the getting uncomfortable or getting out of your comfort zone thing, right? And the more we do that, the more we open out, the less we flinch, the more we get uncomfortable, the more we're able to explore our potential and find out things that we didn't think possible. And as you know, with my stuff on Brain Blinkers, that's a really important thing. So it's about getting uncomfortable and not flinching. And easier said than done, but one of the ways that I think it's taking off, certainly in Sydney, I'm not sure about in Orange and the Central West there, mate, but these things, OSPARs,
we always
thought they were just for footy players, right, to recover. But they're here with people, perfectly good weather, and then they put themselves into minus whatever in OSPARs. Is that happening out there too?
Yeah, it's a big thing here, and a lot of people do it as part of their training.
Yes, good part of training. So it's not just, this is not talking about the benefit of ice for muscle fatigue and recovery and whatnot. This is about shocking the body and showing the body that even though it's getting shocked, you're going to be okay. And I've not done an ice bath yet, but a good way to practice this at home is, and I challenge anyone to try it out tonight, jump in the shower, get comfortable for like 30 seconds, whatever temperature you have is comfortable, and then turn off immediately, completely, the hot water. So it's just cold water coming.
Ooh.
And we're in summer, so you got a bit of a head start here.
Yeah,
but just turn it off. And what the body will do, it will flinch. You'll tighten up and it's protecting itself, saying, oh, this is no good. But within about 10 seconds, seriously, 10 seconds of relative pain, but you're okay.
Yeah.
And your body will quickly adjust. And that's that whole concept with the ice bath. And the whole thing in Julian Smith's book about, don't flinch. Practice not flinching.
And I guess if we take it to the sport of boxing, these guys are particularly good at it. I guess they train to not flinch.
That's exactly right. They train not to flinch. So, of course, when a big right fist is coming at your face, the natural reaction for you and I is to brace and move and close our eyes and screw up our mouth, right? Of course, because that's going to help us cop it. But what boxers do when you watch them, they don't flinch. And there's obviously sayings about this as well, too. What they'll do is they'll cop the punch because it's coming to hit them. If their guard's down, well, bad luck. But their left hook is coming right behind that. If we were copying it, we spend a lot of time, we waste a lot of time reacting. What they want to do is act and be proactive, not react.
Okay, fantastic. Flinching, ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more, brainblinkers.com. Anthony Bonici's with us this morning. Thank you as always, mate. You have a wonderful day.
You too, buddy.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
The podcast.
All right, time now to have a look at finance and the year ahead, 2024. It's been a bit of a volatile last couple of years post-COVID. And are things finally starting to settle down? I thought we'd pick the brain of Mr. Russell Tim. He's a representative of MoneyLink Financial Planning, and he joins us online. How are you today, Russell?
G'day, Neil. I'm pretty good. What about yourself?
Yeah, going well, and we're already into March. It's absolutely flying by the year thus far, and I get the impression that it's off to a reasonable start from a business and economic perspective. The years since COVID's arrival have been, you know, quite variable, uncertain, and we've got wars, interest rate rises thrown in, but maybe this year might be a little more predictable.
Yes, well, we certainly hope so, don't we, Neil? Yeah. When inflation took off in 2021, the Reserve Bank knew it had a big project on its hands to get it back down to the 2 to 3% target range. Its ultimate aim several years later was to achieve what economists call a soft landing, and that now looks likely. Inflation occurs when an economy runs too fast, with consumer demand for goods and services well ahead of their supply, and that allows prices to rise, of course. Now, the RBA must raise the cost of borrowing so consumer demand and business activity slow down a bit, and that will allow prices to fall. Most of us don't like higher interest rates, of course, but if the RBA doesn't increase them enough, it won't control inflation, and out-of-control inflation is even worse.
Yeah, absolutely true. And the RBA also has to be careful it doesn't raise rates too far and cause businesses and the economy to slow down too much.
Yes, that's right. We don't want a recession either. The RBA has to get things just right. So we experience a controlled slowdown back to balance and sort of avoid the two dangers on either side, a soft landing.
Yeah, okay. Inflation is coming down, isn't it? So the signs are encouraging.
Yes, that's right. The CPI for the December quarter showed inflation continuing to decline, continuing the trend of previous quarters. It was 4.1% over the last calendar year, and that's only 1.1% above the target range, 2 to 3%. So that's very encouraging, really.
Are there any signs that it might not continue to fall?
Well, one concern is wage growth. It was very slow. Wage growth was very slow for several years, of course, and people complained about the lack of pay rises. But now pay rises are running ahead of inflation, and that is pushing business costs up and is one influence that is contributing to keeping inflation up there.
Okay, what about the possibility of a recession? It doesn't seem very likely. Things are going along okay at the moment, aren't they?
Yes, the economy is still growing slowly, not as quickly as it was, but it is still growing, so a recession looks unlikely. Retail sales growth slowed to 2.3% in the last calendar year, but the sales haven't collapsed. The share market listed retail companies Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi and Nick Scali, they all reported better than expected sales for the December half year, and especially in the recent months. So they've been doing quite a bit better than the analysts had expected.
Okay, inflation continuing to fall, we have decent retail sales, so it sounds like a pretty good recipe all in all.
Yes, it does, Neil. And the current weakness in the Chinese economy should help reduce inflation a little bit too. China's factories are running below capacity at the moment, so the prices they charge for manufactured goods should be a bit lower, reducing the cost of the goods we import, of course.
Okay, let's talk about this one. Arguments that we're hearing at the moment, and you know, you feel it when you go to the supermarket. People are saying that we're paying too much for basic food and grocery items. Politicians, lobby groups, etc., they claim that the big supermarkets are having a bit of a lend of us. What will the investigations find?
Well, I don't mean to be a wet blanket, but I'd be surprised if the claims of price gouging and excessive profits are found to be true, or a major cause of inflation, at least, anyway. Maybe some small price reductions can be achieved, but I don't think that's likely to reduce the inflation level greatly. There are other factors at work too. The major wharf operators that handle most of our imports and exports have just raised their prices sharply for handling cargo, due to big pay increases that they had to agree to, due to the strikes by the Waterfront Union. That'll add to inflation to some degree too.
Okay, I've read that productivity isn't as good as it used to be pre-COVID, the amount of output per worker. Is that a concern?
Yes, the Productivity Commission says the amount of output per worker has declined over the last couple of years. Working from home wasn't a problem when it was new, a novelty, but after it became entrenched, figures now show that people working at home are not as productive, according to the Productivity Commission. The new industrial laws passed by Parliament recently won't help either, as they reduce flexibility in the workplace. And weak productivity plus wage rises give workers more to spend for doing less. So, you know, that has to add to inflation to some degree.
Okay, so what else can governments do to reduce inflation?
Well, state and federal governments contribute to inflation by spending more than they collect in taxes and mineral royalties. You know, if their income was, if their expenditure was no more than their income, that'd be good. But when they overspend, deficit spending really needs to be reined in. You know, so overall, I'd say there are still things to worry about, and we've listed a few of them there. But overall, the economy is going along pretty well. The trend is good. I think it is heading in the right direction.
Okay, thank you very much, Russell.
Thank you, Neil.
And Russell Timm is a representative of Moneylink Financial Planning Proprietary Limited, an Australian financial services licence holder.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
The podcast.
Time now to talk rugby league and ladies rugby league in terms of the Western League Tag Challenge. A stack of teams will be taking part in this event once again this year, and it's a fantastic opener to the season ahead, and many teams from right around New South Wales will be coming to Canoundra to take part in it. Joining us online, the president of the Woodbridge Cup, it's Andrew Poole. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Gilly, and happy new year to you. First time we've talked footy in 2024, and looking forward to being part of your team once a week.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. Looking forward to having you on board. And as I say, this Sunday, it's not the start of the Woodbridge Cup in earnest, but there certainly is a big competition happening in terms of the Western Challenge League Tag. So plenty of ladies will be playing this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like a good weekend of League Tag. Now, Canoundra's not quite the bright lights of Las Vegas, but pretty close. And so we've got 16 teams attending the knockout. And pretty amazing, actually, because the growth of women's tackle rugby league and women's rugby union is going through the roof. Yet there's still plenty of people that want to play league tag as well. So participation's through the roof, and it's good to see so many active people, players, kids.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's a game of speed and it's a game of good hands, isn't it, league tag?
Oh, it certainly is, and it's good hands. A good hands is the hand-eye coordination trying to get those tags off, and a lot of the players that have been around a long time have got a twist or a curve with their hips, and it can be very hard. So be pretty exciting on the weekend. So we've got Forbes, Mudgee, Wellington and Young Cherry Pickers all coming to join 12 Woodbridge Cup sides in the knockout. So they're all from a different area, and they'll all bring a different style of tag.
Yeah, all right. And it's 10-minute halves, I believe?
10-minute halves. Every team plays three games, and then they go into the semi-final and the final stage. Pools of four. For me, the favourites, we've split Cargo Blue Heelers and Manila Rhinos. They were the two grand finalists in Woodbridge Cup last year, so if they have a good run through the tournament, they won't meet until the final. Big opportunity for them to get a pre-season trophy.
Yeah, all right, fantastic. And as you say, you know, Forbes, Mudgee, Wellington, Young, as well as Trundle, Yugara, Peak Hill, Orange Warriors, Canoundra Tigers, you mentioned Cargo Blue Heelers, Manila Rhinos, Cowra Magpies, Blaney Bears are coming across as well as the Molong Bulls. So it certainly will be a big day, 16 teams in total. How does that compare to last year?
Yeah, well, I think we had 15 last year, so it's ranged since in the 13 tournaments we've had. We've ranged from 12 to 23, but it usually sits around that 14 to 16 mark. So it's always popular, especially new coaches and clubs have a lot of new players. You can come to the knockout and have short games and chance to see what you're doing and just get better at it. So pretty exciting. 10 a.m. start. It's free entry. I think I say this every year. The reason it's free entry is because we wanted to put the girls on centre stage. They've done so much work off the field in rugby league before they had the opportunity to play. And when we brought in this concept, it was about them, about their athleticism and an opportunity to shine. So, yeah, if anyone's out there and got nothing to do next Sunday, come across and watch some league tag, free entry, and you'll see some good athletes playing some great sport.
Tom Clyburn Oval from 10 a.m. this Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. Go along and check it out. The Western Challenge, the 13th year it's run. Andrew Paul, good to chat, my friend, and we'll talk to you again when Woodridge Cup gets underway. Thanks for your time this morning.
Great to talk to you, mate.
Neil Gill for Breakfast.
The podcast.
And that concludes this week's episode. Thank you very much for your company here on the Listener app. And, of course, you can join me weekday mornings from 6 a.m. on 105.1 Triple M or back here next week for another edition of the Triple M Central West Breakfast Podcast.
Neil Gill for Breakfast.
Anytime you want on Listener.
And 6 to 9 weekdays on Orange and the Central West, 105.1 Triple M.